Power of God unto salvation. Lord, without your word, we can do nothing. It's you that does the work, not us. All you're asking for, Father, is our availability. And Lord, we've sung and we've said today, yes, Lord, we're available. Reign in me. Use me, Lord. Let me be a channel to reach men and women for you. Amen. Praise God. I was thinking about what we said on Wednesday, and Daniel was, in fact, apparently it was my turn on Wednesday to share, and I didn't know when I got to church, and suddenly it was Sushma, and Kusraj and myself got chatting, and we started talking about being persevering and being persistent with God, and not always just sitting back and taking everything that comes. And it went on from there, and the Spirit quickened that, and he gave Andrew part of it, and he gave Daniel part of it, and he gave Joan some of it, and it was, and Helen, and it was the body all ministering and joining together, and Ken, and sharing with one another and just listening to the Spirit. And Graham gave me the scripture that I was looking for, and it was just a work of the Holy Spirit. He had prepared our hearts for when we got to church. And I want to talk a bit about that today, because that's what God is looking for as we move ahead. You know, we're made in the image of God, and God is structured, and God has purpose, and he has goals, and that's how he wants us to be. And if we don't have those, we just drift through life. And to drift through life is a very, very dangerous thing, having no purpose, no focus. And in Teen Challenge, we meet young people who have no goals, who have no purpose. They're just lost. And they just drift along through life. But that's not God's plan for us. We have a big God who has big goals that only God can achieve. But he wants to work through you and me. He's called us to work with him. We used to sing a song years ago. And it was, he's looking for love slaves to the king. And a slave is somebody who does what his master bids him to do. And he's actually, over a period of time, given the opportunity to go free. But if he doesn't want to go free, then they pierce his ear and put an earring through. And this piercing of his ear says, I'm yours forever, Master. You're good to me. I've got so much in this house I don't ever want to leave. I choose to stay with you. And God says very clearly that without a vision, the people perish. Vision is critical to what we do. And God is beginning to give us fresh vision. He gave us a vision for this place, which is still yet to be fulfilled. We're in here, but, you know, we're pressing forward, believing for the paperwork so that we may be totally free from all jurisdiction of the Church of England and to pursue what God wants us to do. And it's, well, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And God very clearly said to me this week, I want you to do what Jesus did. Okay. Right, God, I want to do what Jesus did. But what did Jesus do? And in Luke chapter 4, we read the first verse, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. And then we know the devil tempted him, and he never left him alone during those 40 days. He was determined to destroy him. That wilderness was a solitary place, a place where the devil had opportunity to work on him and to work on his flesh and to seek to destroy him. But how did Jesus overcome that temptation? How did he overcome the devil? He did it by quoting the word of God. He constantly said to the devil, it is written. And you know, we're not exempt from going through the wilderness. If Jesus had to go through the wilderness, we too are going to have to go through the wilderness. If God's given you a promise, if you have a hope and a future, then the devil is going to try and steal that from you, because the last thing he wants is for you and me to fulfill the destiny that God has given to us. And he will work every which way that he can, knowing the things that your weaknesses, and he will play on those weaknesses to constantly bring you down. And he did the same with Jesus. And Jesus overcame by quoting the word of God to him. And you know, I was reading a Smith Wigglesworth book this week. It was an old book, and I think it's a transcription of one of his sermons, or maybe one or two of his sermons put together. But he said there, people say that the word of God contains, people say the Bible contains the words of God. But he said, I say to you that the Bible is the word of God. And that's the difference. This word in your mouth will put the devil out completely. He can push against you, and in your own strength you cannot resist him, probably. But you get the word of God for every situation, for every lie, for every circumstance that the devil, every adversity that he's throwing at you. If you will quote the word of God, that the word of God is the power of God. It's as if God is speaking. Well, he is. When you say that word, it is God speaking through you. And that hits the devil right where he needs it and sends him rolling and rolling and rolling. And he's out of the picture. And that's what we need to know, that we have great power by quoting the word of God, because it's as powerful in our mouths as it is in the power, in the voice and in the mouth of God. And we need to believe that word. You know, the devil is a master at coming, and God will give you a promise, and it's seemingly, in the natural, it will be impossible, because if it's from God, we have a big God who is able to fulfill his promises and his word. But the devil will come and start niggling straight away, and he'll say, well, what about this? And what do you see, and what don't you see, and just think about this. And he tries to get us to reason it out, to look at our resources, to look at what we can do. And God is saying, forget all of that. I called you, I've equipped you, I've got all the resources, I've got all the power. Follow me. I've said it, I'll do it. It's my plan, I'll fulfill it. I just want to know if you'll trust me and obey. It's like that old song we used to sing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And sometimes, well, all of the time, when God gives you a promise, in the natural it will be impossible, and you're saying, how can this be, God? And the devil wants you to go down that route, because he'll be able to talk you out of it. But if you refuse to follow the voice of reason and just take the word of the Spirit of God and run with it, you will see God fulfill it. And in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, we'll go to verse 14. After the temptation, when Jesus was filled with the power of the Spirit, he returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. And then he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears." Jesus knew his destiny. He knew he had a plan, he had a purpose. That's why he came. And he was determined that he was going to fulfill that destiny. He was going to fulfill that purpose. And it was to minister to the people, to reach out to the people, to see the need, and to bring the life and the love of God to the people. And you say, yes, but that was Jesus. He was the Son of God. But let me just say this to you. When Jesus ministered on the earth, his ministry on the earth was as a man. That means like you and me, with all the restrictions and all the limitations of humanity. But he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit to be baptized of John. He was always led by the Spirit. He was sensitive to the Spirit. He engaged with the Spirit of God. He followed what the Spirit was doing. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And he knew, he connected with heaven, although he was acting as man. He was heavily and totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's calling us to do. And without we flow in the same way that Jesus did, we cannot accomplish the works that Jesus accomplished. But yet God is calling us to do that. And he's saying, to do this, you need to minister as I ministered, and to be led by the Spirit of God. So that requires us to be filled with the Spirit. And you know, let's just go quickly to Acts chapter 2. The disciples were just men and women, like you and I. But they were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were different men and women. And in chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together, that's the disciples, in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. That's what the Spirit of God does. He equips us for the work that God has called us to. And God has called us to reach this community. And he's saying to you, I want your availability. Will you with me reach out to this community? Will you see them, lives transformed by my love? Will you see hopeless people being given hope and a purpose and a destiny? That's what God wants for all of us, and that's what he wants for those outside. And when the Holy Spirit came on the disciples, they just went out with great boldness and passion. And it's that baptism in the Holy Spirit that will keep us passionate about the things of the kingdom, which will keep us passionate about reaching men and women, of sharing the good news with them, of telling them that God loves them and God has a plan for them, and that there is a future and that there is a hope for them. Jesus was passionate. When he went into the temple, he found the money changers, and what did he do? He turned the tables over. He was angry. He was furious at what he found in his father's house. And he said, no, we're not having this. He was passionate about the things of the kingdom. He hated religion. He told the Pharisees, you're just whitewashed sepulchres. You're just full of dead men's bones, and this won't work. We need life. We need the Spirit of God. We need passion. We need determination. We need perseverance to follow the Spirit of God. And we were talking on Wednesday about perseverance and how the widow came to the unjust judge and she said, you will give me my rights. I demand my rights. I know what I need. I know what God has promised me. And she went to this judge, and this judge in the end said, I'm tired of this woman. She's constantly coming to me, demanding that I give her justice. And if I don't do it, she's going to give me a black eye. So I'm going to do it. Well, if the unjust judge was prepared to submit, how much more God, who loves us, is wanting to give us and to run with us and reach the community out there, to give us the desires of our hearts. What's your desire? God wants us to be empty vessels. He wants us to put aside our desire, and we've sung a lot about that this afternoon. This is my desire, to follow you. Lord, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, I worship you. God, use me. Let me be a channel. And God will do all of that. He requires us to seek him and to submit to him and to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. You know, Jesus changed the establishment. He just transformed everywhere he went. He changed what was happening. He confronted the establishment, the Pharisees. There was no compromise with him. It was all black and white. And this is the way we're going. And follow me. And that's what he's still saying today. His disciples were full of passion, because they saw the sick healed, the dead raised, the demons cast out. It was an exciting life. It was a life full of victory. But it was also a life full of challenge. And we're going to get the both. It's all in the mix. But you know, the passion within us drives us forward. The vision for seeing men and women, for this place being full and this place being reached and beyond for God, is what drives us. And that's what drove Jesus. He was also full of compassion. He was a very, very compassionate man. And he was moved with compassion when he saw the needs out there in the community. And he met those needs. He was filled with compassion when he met the widow of Nain. And she was burying her son. And he was just moved with compassion. And he raised that son from the dead. He was moved with compassion when he fed the 4,000 and he fed the 5,000. He was moved with compassion when he healed the lepers and when he opened the blind eyes. And he miraculously paid Peter's taxes and his own taxes by the coin in the fish's mouth. Jesus did a multitude of ways. He used a multitude of ways to reach the people and to supply the need where they were lacking. And I believe that's what Jesus is calling us to do in this community. But we need to follow the Spirit. And as we follow the Spirit, we'll realize that every situation is unique. It's not just one thing fits all. We need to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us in this situation and how we minister to these people and how we supply the need as we listen to the voice of the Spirit. In Smith Wigglesworth's book, he tells a story of when he was in Lancashire and he went to a family of a young couple that just got a baby, and the mother was in bed when he arrived at the house, and she just seemingly was helpless. She was totally detached. She didn't want to know the baby. She didn't want to know her husband. She wanted nothing to do with them. If they approached her, she became like a mad woman, and she just went into a rage and turned away from them and just buried her head in the bed, and she just would not respond to her husband or to baby. And Smith Wigglesworth sat there, and as he looked at it, he was moved with compassion. And he said to the people, "Have you sought for help?" And they said, "We've got all the help we can possibly get." And he said, "Well, have you asked God for help?" And the husband said, "Why would we want to ask God for help? Why would we want anything to do with God when he's done this? And he's brought this situation about." He was blaming God. And I'm telling you, there's people out there who don't know that God loves them. And they're blaming God for the situation that they're in. But he would not let go of this godly compassion. But he had to detach himself from the situation. And he went out of the house. And he said that he had to bring down heaven into earth. He had to go outside and he had to empty himself of earth and reach into heaven and pull down what was needed for this particular situation. And when he knew that he had heard the voice of God, he went back into the house and he cast out the spirit that was in that woman. And immediately the spirit left her, and she slept for 14 hours. And at the end of 14 hours, she woke up and she was perfectly healed. That's my God. That's how good my God is. That's what God wants to do for these people around here. But he only has one method. He only has one avenue to work through, and that's you and me. Are we going to be people filled with compassion for these people, or are we going to judge them? We cannot judge them. Jesus never judged them. He loved them. And he said, I'm here with the love of God to reach out to you. But as we said, God will not always work the same way in every situation. And in another situation, which was very, very traumatic for him, he was away preaching, and his wife, she too was preaching, but she was in Lancashire and he was away off somewhere. And she said to Smith, her husband, she said, Smith, when I get to preaching, one day I'm going to walk right on and I'm going to walk into heaven. She said, when I get preaching, I'm so filled with the Spirit of God, I just want to walk on and be with Jesus. And on this particular situation, she did exactly that. She was preaching and preaching her heart out, and she just moved on. She went with God, and she died there and then. They sent for Smith, and Smith came, and he loved her very passionately. But he said, I couldn't cry. He said, because she'd gone on to her reward. She got what she wanted. But he said, there was a part of me that wanted her back, because I loved her so much. So he said, I went up to that body and I commanded the spirit of death to go. He said, and the spirit of death went, and she came back for a moment or two. And then he heard the voice of God, and God said to him, she's mine. Let her go. Her work is done. And at that, he let her go. And he moved on, and he continued to minister under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What a powerful thing to do, what an emotional thing to do. But he was totally committed to following the voice of the Spirit. No matter what the cost, it was your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what God's looking for in us, a total commitment to lay aside our agenda, to lay aside maybe our loved ones and say, God, I will go with you no matter what the cost. It will on our part require perseverance. And I promise you this, we will never get through the calling and the commission that God has called us to without we are prepared to persevere and push through. Because the devil does not want you to succeed in the vision that God has called you to. He will resist you. But God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We can do this because this is a God appointment. It's God who is doing the work. And he says, I need you as a channel. I want you to work with me, but it's me that's doing the work by the power of the Spirit of God. We can succeed in this. And when Paul, he was a man of passion. Boy, was he a man of passion. He was so passionate, he was destroying the church, the early church. He was killing them. He was having them stoned, imprisoned. He hated the Holy Spirit and the work that was happening there. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he says. And he was totally committed to the religious aspect of God. And he was passionately destroying the church, but yet God turned him around, and God wanted to embrace that passion in that man and turn it in the opposite direction, turn it for the kingdom of God. And when Ananias came to pray for him, God said to Ananias, you go and you pray for Paul, well, for Saul as he was called at that time. I have appeared to him, and he needs to know that it's me that's working in his life. And he said to Ananias, he said, this man will suffer many things for the kingdom of God. And Paul did suffer many things. He had much adversity. But I'm in line with what I read that Smith Wigglesworth said. It was never sickness that was his adversity. It was situations, it was the devil that was constantly trying to block his way and drive him from God's plan and purpose. And, the devil has no new tricks. He will try and do that with us. But the Word of God says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that word saved means he will enter the Zoe life of God. And this is the abundance. He will embrace the power of God and live at that level with God. And we know of many, many times David endured opposition and he overcame. I was encouraged yesterday, and I'm sorry that we've been watching the tennis, but Venus Williams didn't win. But you know, she has the spirit of a champion. And it was through great adversity that she became the champion that she is. And even when she didn't succeed yesterday, they said, what have you got to say, Venus? You didn't seem on form today. But they said, what would you say to Serena, her sister, who is a great champion too at tennis? And she said, she winked and she said, I'll be back. There's always next year. And I thought, that is the spirit of a champion. Even in defeat, she never gave in. She said, I'll be back and I will do it. I will win because I'm a champion, and champions don't give in. Champions run to the battle. David never gave in. He said, I'm a champion. And what forged that spirit of being a champion within them? It was adversity. And that's what the devil thinks he's going to use to destroy you. But let me tell you this, by adversity, the devil is making you, because God is making you strong. So no weapon formed against you will prosper. And the devil, through adversity, will never defeat you, will never destroy you. God will only use it to make you into a champion. So don't quit. Persevere, because you're in the making of a champion. And a champion is what God's looking for in every one of us. It's not about your ability. It's not about your gifting. God's not interested in giftings. He's interested in character. Character is the thing that God is looking for, and adversity forms your character. As it makes you a champion, it makes you a person of character, a person of your word, a person who will stand no matter what. And that's what God's looking for, people of character. The people who flow with the crowd, who fall to what the popular opinion is, will never succeed and will never be candidates for the work of God. God is calling us and setting us apart, and he said, you don't go the way the world's going. Even if it's popular, even if it makes you unpopular, that's not what I'm about. I'm about character, and I'm about champions, and that is what I'm going to make of every one of you if you will stay the course and persevere and push through. And I'm up for that. I really am up for that. I don't feel I have much ability, but I know this. I'm persevering. I'm persistent. Sometimes I think too much so. But, you know, God's saying, I'm looking for character. Will you let me form your character? Will you let me make you that perfect work so that when you go out there, you will challenge the establishment, but you won't break. You'll not be brittle. You'll be well formed, and you'll be a sharp sword in my hand to reach the nation for Jesus. Yeah, God is sending us out into this area to reach men and women, but we're only going to do it in the power of the Spirit as He forms character in it, as we persevere and push through. Because let me tell you this, He will establish His kingdom in this area through us. He will fill this place. This place is ours. God has given it to us. It's our destiny. It's our reward. And God will do the work. But He says, are you going to stand with me? Are you going to let me work through you? Are you going to listen to the voice of my Spirit? Are you going to be ready every day to flow with me and to hear me and to look to me? And I say, yes, God, yes. Yes, God. And just to finish, I thank God Andrew has stood for this thing, and there's been times of excitement, there's been times of challenge, there's been a mix of stuff, but he stood and he's still standing today, and he needs others to stand with him and say, we will push through and we will succeed in the plan and the purpose to which God has called us. And that's what our lives are all about. We're not, you know, at this age, we're not going to quit. God, renew our youth, renew our strength. We want to run as young people run. We want to keep up with these kids and go with what God is doing. And that's the spirit that will persevere and push through. And we thank God he saved Daniel and he took him through Bible college. And now Daniel feels that he should be here giving back and pushing forward with us in this place to reach the community. And there are plans. God is giving us vision. He's giving us hope. He's giving us ways to reach these people. And as Jesus fed the people and as he met the need of the area, so he's calling us to do just that.